Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here. We're in our guest segment of the show. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to The Common Sense Show. And we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we need your help to unenslave more people. So please share this far and wide. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a terrific segment for you here. And Oh, Paul Martin's going to be joining us, and I'm laughing because I know how sublime and ridiculous this is going to get, except everything is true. We're brought to you by Fixed. And you ever had that feeling you go to the car repairman and you think you're going to get an oil change? But you got the rumble out of the Nuber in the Duber part and rumber balla. Those parts need to be replaced. What? I just came in here for an oil change. Well, we've also found a couple other things that we should test. And the testing right now, there's a special. It's only $29.99. Is that okay? And you go, I think I'm being taken for a ride here. So what you do is you have this little device. It plugs into the port of your car. And you sync it up with your, it's like a Fitbit watch. You sync it up with your phone. And it tells you what's wrong with your car and about how much you can expect to pay for it. And you go, whoa, wow. Is that interesting? And is it accurate? Yeah. And you get instant results. So you'll say, well, while you're checking my lower lumbar of my right axle, I want to see what this says here. Oh, by the way, it says here that you're not telling me the truth. Think about when you want to buy a used car. Same thing. And this thing is so inexpensive, it's ridiculous. It's called RepairWithDave.com. That's the website you go to. RepairWithDave.com. Now, I've got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to mess with this because you buy this device, it's going to save you a heck of a lot of money. All right, Paul Martin, as you know, from Northern Colorado. He is the owner of the website, revolutionradio.com. We used to do a radio show, formerly KHNZ, but, gosh, I tell you, it was like they weren't feeding the monkeys enough on the treadmill to keep the station going. So we moved to other things. So voila, here we are. And Paul and I are going to be talking about some really pertinent and interesting stuff. Paul, welcome to the show. You know, we should have taken up a food collection for those monkeys on that treadmill over there. You know that?
Yeah, I probably should have.
I heard you giggling in the background when I was saying that. Anyway, think it'll get back to them?
Nah.
Do we care?
No.
Okay. So, Paul, why are we talking today? What's so pressing,
well,
so pertinent.
There's not that much to talk about, you know. Just the usual business day. No bugs flying around the world. No crazy Democrats. Imploded Democrats, I might add. President made a presentation on the current health conditions of the country today. And we could do 2 hours on health, Dave.
Boy, could we ever. We could. Hey, have you ever heard of this thing now in the health? They're talking about it's called co-insurance charge.
No.
You ever run into that?
No.
Oh, man. I have it on my insurance now. It used to be you'd walk into the doctor's office, right, and you'd pay a prescribed, pre-planned copay. And whatever they did to you in that office, short of major surgery, you know, your copay covered it, correct?
Right.
Oh, contraire, mon frere, no more. You walk into that office now, you're paying a copay for the privilege of walking into that office, filling out endless amounts of paperwork, and sitting in uncomfortable chairs around diseased people. That's what your copay goes for. The minute you step in there and they do something to you, well, let me look up your nose. Oh, let me see the ears. I got to listen to your heart. And we're going to take your blood pressure. These are all things they're charging for now. It's called the co-insurance fee. It means, basically, your copay means jack squat. And you're getting ripped off every time you walk into the doctor. How do you like them apples?
Well, you're going to be really jealous because my doctor didn't charge me anything.
Yeah. Which doctor?
My doctor.
No. You get it? Which doctor?
Oh, which doctor, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You're a little slow there, Paul. Which doctor does not charge a copay? Come on. You really want me to believe that? I suppose he makes house calls, too. Oh, yeah. Right?
Actually, he does.
No way.
Wait, Jose.
You have a doctor who you make no copay to, and he makes house calls.
I don't pay a nickel.
So what does he do? Come over, cook breakfast, and take the kids to school? What the heck?
No, he's he sold part of his practice and just went. He's kind of a concierge doctor now, but I've known him 25, 26 years. I hadn't paid a doctor bill in 15 years.
I no longer feel sorry for you.
that saves me from having to go to the VA, which is torturous.
Oh, my God, VA? It's like Viet Cong torture. Hey, my son had nasal surgery. And, of course, they used an anesthesiologist. And they failed to do something. They failed to bill us. So then we get this collections notice, and it's our first notification. Went through all the emails, went through everything. No notification. Went right to collections. Incredible.
Good brief.
And now when you go in, and let's say you have a simple outpatient procedure done on you, you don't even know what the amount is. You know, I'm having eye surgery on the 10th of March, and I've tried to find out. Well, how much is it? Well, you've got to pay your 30% deductible. You've got to, and they go through these things. Okay, well, how much is that going to be? I don't know.
Oh, my God.
And see, they can charge you any dang thing they want. And you never know.
And they say the mafia is bad.
Well, they are the medical mafia.
Yeah.
They are. Big Pharma. Oh, yeah. In partnership with Monsanto. Do I need to say more?
No.
Well, anyway, Paul, I just wondered if you knew what coinsurance was. And it's a relatively new concept that's just beginning to sweep healthcare in America, and it is a monumental breach of trust, monumental ripoff. And I can't believe we're not hearing more about it. Or if people are upset, I think the mainstream media, who's in Big Pharma's bed because they're their biggest advertiser, they'll never air any of this stuff.
Not a bit.
Yeah, it's scary. It's like a lawyer with an open ledger. You know, really, if you want to look honest, you know what the joke is? You want to look honest? Stand next to someone for managed care.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. How do I get your doctor?
Huh?
How does someone sign up for your doctor?
He just likes me.
I don't get it, though. I mean, does he do this with other patients, or are you just special?
No, I'm the only guy who can walk in his office and walk out.
They charges everyone else a copay?
Yep.
So you know where he buried the body. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not saying anymore.
Okay, I got it. His IRS secrets are safe with you. Okay, let's get down to business here. Did you watch the presidential news conference?
Yes.
And what was your takeaway?
Politics as usual.
Yeah, mine too. We don't want to say anything that'll bring the market down, but Nancy Pelosi sucks. We don't want to do anything to induce panic. Chuck Schumer sucks. That was kind of
well. The minute that he announced Pence was going to be his, his bug czar, the future's already tanked.
How bad's it going to get?
I don't know. I mean, you've got people on the Border Patrol with people from a very large country over in the east coming across the border, and they're
oh, you mean CH? CH?
Yeah, CH. And
they got CV.
Yeah. And so
should we just speak in code so we don't get censored here? They're from CH and they're bringing in CV, right?
Something possibly, I can't say I'm not. But you've got Orange County declared an emergency today. San Francisco did yesterday, and I think San Diego did the day before that. And, you had 800 people, quote unquote, in quarantine in California, and they weren't going to go to the store, or go to the bar, go to a movie, or do anything like that. And now you've got a lady stewardess that got diagnosed with it, and she had been on recently. She had been on one flight from Tel Aviv to Seoul, and then she had multiple trips between LAX and Seoul. And usually those aircraft carry around 300 people, plus cabin crew and stuff like that. I mean, the stories it just goes over and over and over and over again. And this thing's got, they were the people that they released from Washington had been on a 14-day quarantine. Well, that don't mean jack anymore. They had one guy in China that had it for 28 days. Before he went hot. So there's no telling. But you saw a map, didn't you?
A map of what?
Of stuff around the country from your DHS guy?
Oh, yeah, about the quarantine zones. Mike Adams quoted him today.
Yeah.
And, exactly. They have special camps set up for you and me. They even identified it in the mainstream. Hold on, let me think. The head of the CDC was addressing the press in the press conference. And he did say, well, under EFS number 8 guidelines, should I bring up what that is?
Go, please.
Okay. EFS number 8, and I've linked to this 5 years ago, and I recently updated it. It's also what Celeste Salam, former NSA whistleblower, talks about. It's medical martial law. They invoke all these executive orders like Obama's and so forth and now Trump's. And they basically want to create a profile where they can declare anyone to be sick and then you go off to the camps. And there were 17, count them, 17 agencies involved in this, and not one of them was a medical agency. Not one. It wasn't even a matter that they can't get an ambulance to a scene. It's crazy. People are going to go there and die. Now, back to the document you referenced, courtesy of our senior federal LEO contact and what we leaked to Mike for his show and for his website. Mike said to me, this is only the tip of the iceberg from the data he has.
Wow. Well, I mean, we're just getting started on this. I mean, it started in December, and, you know, then it got worldwide press out of Wuhan, and, you know, it's February the 26th. I mean, we're just getting into this.
I better head and tell that story. Sometimes it's better to self-censor than regret it later. Okay, let's move into other things here now. The last Democratic debate. I watched clips of it, and I thought I was watching a bad Saturday Night Live script.
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of pundits on the Democratic side that's saying there's no sticking way these guys are going to beat Trump, which raises the back of my hair on my neck up.
Yeah, take that a little farther, Paul.
Well, we talked about this before. I mean, these people are sick. Some people say they're demonic. Could be both. But if we can't have it, ain't nobody going to have it.
That's how I see it, too, exactly. You know, Pelosi is saying that when President Trump cut off travel from affected countries, that he was being racist.
Oh, yeah.
Did you actually see that?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
Well, she's out of her mind.
I know.
That's all they got's the R word. You're a racist, you're a racist, you're a racist. You wear your cap backward, whoop, you're a racist. You ride horses, oh, you're definitely a racist. You know, that's all they got. They're done. They're finished. The party's over.
Yeah, oh, it was really like a bad Saturday Night Live script. It was pathetic.
It was horrible.
Of course, I like Joe Biden's crime stats. You know what I'm talking about? Joe Biden had some really interesting crime stats. I mean, they were so bad.
Oh, yeah.
Paul, I'm afraid to walk out of my house now. I live in the middle of nowhere, but hey, I got a 1 in 2 chance of being murdered next time I step out of the house. Joe Biden said half of America has been murdered with guns that we need to seize. Half of Americans, huh? That would be exactly 165 million.
He's off just a little bit. I mean, fentanyl's killing, no telling how many times more than gun deaths.
Well, I think the 2019 stats are coming in at about 70,000 dead on fentanyl.
Of course, they're not going to talk about that, are they?
It's kind of like they've been there, done that.
Because we know who's bringing the fentanyl in, and we know who runs the Democratic Party, and we know who runs the country of Mexico.
Well, who does run Mexico? Let's lay it out.
Our good friends from CH.
Yeah, you're right. They do. They control the... They do control the car, pray tells. They do.
Yep.
So we just got to start speaking in code, right?
Yes.
Ime, I like ue. We'll just start speaking Pelosi Latin here.
Yeah, I think you've covered all this stuff over and over and over again. But I think the last shipment of fentanyl that they caught crossing the border could have killed 1 billion people.
I don't know if I saw that number being that high. I don't remember what the number was, but it could have wiped out this country, yes.
Oh, and then some. Well, if you've seen... you know, people go to your favorite search engine and just look how much fentanyl does it take to kill you. And it's just a partial little speck on a dime. Just on the tip of your little finger. I mean, this stuff is...
How did the Chi-Coms? How did the Chi-Coms ever get a hold of? How did the Chi-Coms ever get a hold of the cartels?
Money. You guys want to make some money? Sure. We'll be your best bud. You want to make millions, maybe even some billions? Oh, yeah, we're in. What do you want us to do?
Well, Paul, let me ask you a question. Are you a man of conscience?
Most of the time, I have some evil thoughts from time to time that I won't mention.
Don't you pray for the welfare of these Democrats?
Boy.
Your faith is being tested.
Man, I pray about a lot of stuff, but that's one I haven't. I think they just are off the brink. I mean, this isn't any new news. I mean, AOC and the tribe killed them.
That's true.
And now they consider moderate Democrats the enemy.
Yeah, it's like I did a podcast on this. I said, ladies and gentlemen, get pen and paper because you're going to need to create a scorecard to understand what I'm saying. And I went into it and I said, you know, Pelosi and Schumer now have come out for Bernie. And, you know, the squad, you know, Ocasio and Omar and Tlaib, they've come out now for, who'd they come out for? Nobody. Joe Biden. And, gosh, it was another endorsement. Oh, yeah, Clint Eastwood in Kirk Douglas.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started. I haven't been to a movie in so long, and I'll probably never go to another one again. I don't watch hardly any TV. I'm just done. I mean, the last ratings on the Oscars tell you all you need to know.
How bad were they?
They were bad. It was down. It was bad last year, and it was down another 10 or 12% over last year.
Aren't these people motivated by money? Doesn't the marketplace guide behavior?
Well, I've heard so many people call in on different talk shows about the subject of Hollywood and these arrogant people that really don't do anything for a living but act and then run down the country. But I mean, people are they're just fleeing the movie theaters. You know, I've heard a lot of people say they hadn't been to a movie in 2 or 3 years. I can't remember the last one I was at. I'll put it that to you.
We go to the movies regularly, but you have to take it with a grain of salt. And they certainly don't like heterosexuals and white people anymore in Hollywood, do they?
Oh, that's anathema.
Yeah, I look at their statements and I'm saying, you know, it's like Jim Crow for whites.
Yep.
And it's ridiculous. You know, white people need to die so society can advance.
Well, let's think about that for a minute. Who runs Hollywood?
China.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, they control it. I mean, they even controlled. Do you see the article I wrote on it today about the Chinese government?
Yep, it's up at revolutionradio.org.
And in that article, I got into all the things we're talking about here, and the extreme censorship and so forth. And you know, it never changes anything. The Chinese government are basically Satan's representative on this planet.
So, well, when you can tell as many people as they did, especially during Mao, you gotta have a leader like old Beelzebub.
You know, it's sad. Beelzebub. I just interviewed Derek Gilbert. Beelzebub is demonic entity. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Beelzebub wants to open the portals. Think of Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? Satan's demons. And they're going to open this big portal and they're going to rip through space-time continuum and come in. That's what the Bible teaches.
Well, you forget, I lived next, when we moved to Tulsa in 68, our next door neighbors were full-blown Satanists. He was a mechanical engineer for the aerospace industry there in Tulsa. Stay-at-home wife, two beautiful girls, and a fully possessed son. It'd take me 3 hours to tell you what I saw in that house. But I will tell you one thing. I was at my grandma's down in Cisco, Texas. TV had just gone off. I'd watched Johnny Carson. Buddy Hackett was on. He was really funny and everything. And so when you turn the lights out in that country, it's black. And so I'm flipping and I'm flopping, and I hear click, click, click coming down the hallway. And she had them old hard green linoleum floors. I just figured it was one of them big Texas crickets. And so I flipped, rolled back over and looked at the door, and there was a guy with a black suit, white tie, white carnation, a black fedora, and a white ribbon around it. And he was smoking a cigarette, and I couldn't see his face. And all of a sudden, it's like all the fluids out of my body just exited, and I couldn't scream. And he sat there and smoked that cigarette and looked at me. And pretty soon he went poof, and so I kind of regained myself and got me a blanket, went and laid down on an old throw rug by my grandma's bed, put my back up against the bed, and I watched that door till I heard her rustle. I didn't say a word for 3 days. Of course, I never shut up as a kid. So she called my mom and said, something's wrong with Paul. He hadn't said a word in 3 days, so she came down to get me. And my mom and grandmother were psychic. Never said a word to me. We're halfway back to Tulsa. And so I started telling them about Rick and the family next door and the demon in the door, because that's what it was. And so, yeah, I got lots of stories like that to tell.
I don't think I've ever been in a liquor store that's being held up at that moment. Yet that's precisely where I found myself recently. It's scary, Paul, real scary.
Really?
Yeah. Let me tell you about the
demon in liquor.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cash ATM and one teller. And pretty interesting. I have been shot at twice. You know about that?
Yeah.
Which one do you know about?
The one that brings to memory right now is they were shooting over your house.
Oh, yeah. The house that we had in the city, and we were doing the show from there, and I had all the in-laws over and everything, and one big party atmosphere, and I'm interviewing Jim Mars, interestingly enough, with Andy DeRiso. And we get down to, okay, Jim, tell us about your book, and he's starting to talk in, and I go, whoa, wait a minute, hey, we're getting shot at. And, you know, the ladies in the house down a level from me, they were screaming. And everyone's calling 911 like crazy. One of my sister-in-laws was out on the side yard. She saw the whole thing. Two men with ski masks in a van. And this is when I was pretty heavily trying to interfere in John McCain's campaign for president because he was trying to steal my land on behalf of bankers that wanted the Central American Free Trade Agreement to come through, and it was for a highway. And so we were battling like crazy, and I was on all these radio outlets, and that was the big mess. By the way, I got threatened when I was down at the Capitol, too. We were meeting with John McCain's representatives, not him himself, but he had reps there. And we were talking, and, well, the worst thing you could do is sue. It'll divide the community. And I said, really? Said the community going to buy me another house? No, I don't think so. So I'm going to sue. Bad things happen to people that do that to John McCain. I got threatened right there, Paul. So Mike Robbins, one of our partners in, we had a three-person leadership team, and Mike turns to me, Dave, you've been threatened. I know. And the late Senator, State Senator Marilyn Jarlett was in there. And she said, that's not appropriate. She actually spoke up. She put these guys down. She goes, I'm not going to hear this here. And she goes, and I am going to talk to the senator about this. Well, it was, 3 months later is when I got shot at over the house. Interesting experience. I got shot at once and I was 18. I bet I didn't tell you about that.
No.
No. I was, and you'll know this, the street in Denver. I was going out with this girl. I was, I think I just graduated from high school. And it's a couple months where I'm leaving for college. And so I had a date over, you know, by Abe Lincoln High School. And, you know, the Sloan Park area and stuff. And so I'm coming, you know, back towards I-70 to go back to Aurora where I live. And I stop on this major street called Federal Boulevard. And it was by the Brentwood Shopping Center. I don't know if you know where that's at or not. It was by Evans and Federal Boulevard. And I thought, man, I might remember that. Okay, so it's midnight. And this is good practice for me and Senator McCain. Because I pull in starving to death. And I don't think the girl liked me that well. She didn't invite me in for anything to eat. So I had to stop at Taco Bell. And that's the days I could eat anything, and I still had 3% body fat. Yeah, those days are gone forever. So anyway, they didn't have the indoor eating areas then. Remember, everything was outside with the stone tables? So I'm sitting there, and I'm eating, and I get my 6 tacos. Remember, I'm not even 18 yet, so eating like a horse. And these guys pull up in 2 cars. And there was an old movie theater there. I'll never forget that. I can see the movie theater in the background. I'm watching these guys get out, and they got cases. I go, what? Are they some kind of rock band or something? I was expecting guitars to come out. Uh-uh. Rifles with scopes. And I'm like, holy blank that you can't say on the air. And I'm looking at these guys, and they're getting ready to shoot somebody. Now, I don't think it's me. Okay, name not McCain. And too early for them to be mad at me for my activities. And I'm thinking, man, what's going to go on here? Well, my car is about 50 feet away in a side parking lot adjacent to where I was eating. And there's 2 other people out there. And this guy goes, oh, man, do you see that out there? Yeah, they're putting together these guns right there. And I'm, oh, my God. So I actually was smart enough to get down on the ground. And I'm down on the ground behind these stone tables, which ain't the best idea because of the ricochet factor. And all of a sudden, zing, and whoosh, there goes the glass in the Taco Bell store. I go, it started. I'm thinking, I'm not getting out of this. And I'm hearing ding, 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 ding. Bullets ricocheting everywhere. I'm covering my head. The 2 people out there are screaming. And then all of a sudden, I look back. I can't see across the street because I'm concealed. But I look back at the Taco Bell, and the guy that waited on me held out a .38 revolver, and he's shooting back.
Oh my God!
Here I'm caught in the crossfire. Now fortunately he's shooting over. Now this is like midnight, so there's not much traffic. But I could hear the occasional car. I wasn't peeking up. This goes on for about, 5 or 6 minutes. And all of a sudden it's quiet. And I peek out from behind. And I don't know if they were reloading or what. I kind of assumed they were. So I'm thinking, well, I know there's an alley out back of this, this Taco Bell. So I run out behind. And it's a 10-foot chain link fence with barbed wire facing in. I ain't getting over it.
Oh, God.
I'm not getting over it. And I'm hearing this ding, 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 ding. And then this bullet comes and I hear it hit the fence about 15 feet from where I'm at. And I'm sort of concealed behind the Taco Bell, but I'm thinking these guys make a full assault across. Now, by the way, cops aren't coming. No cell phones there. So I look at the trash bin. That's where I went, Paul. I went into the trash bin And I closed the cover. Oh, that was not a friendly experience. That's what
yeah,
I kind of imagined.
You probably had to take a shower after that.
Oh, my God. Well, it's kind of funny. Then I hear the... And now it's about 12:15. So this has been going on 15 minutes, and I'm not hearing any more shots. So I'm thinking, it's okay to come out. And I come around, the cops put the gun on me. Where are you coming from? I was hiding in the trash can, sir. Yeah, you smell like, you know, when he said. he goes, let me see your ID. What are you doing out at night this late getting shot at, sir? What are you doing here? I said, having tacos. And they acted like I was the offender. And I says, no, I was behind the tables and I was afraid of getting hit with a ricochet. And when they stopped to load, I ran around the end of the building and I couldn't climb the fence, so I jumped in the trash bin. So that's a true story.
Wow.
That's a true story. And it took those cops. I'll tell you the two stories here. There's a moral of the story here, Paul. It took them 20 minutes to respond to Federal Boulevard. And just so the people will know, at that point in time, the Denver had a team called the Denver Bears AAA baseball team. And they played in Mile High Stadium where the Denver Broncos play. And I'm not 2 miles from that stadium. And McNichols Arena, I think, was being built then. I don't think it was finished. And so we're talking, you know, I'm 2 miles from major installations. I'm on a relatively well-traveled street across from a shopping center. And it took the cops 20 minutes to get there. So, but I'll give you the other one too. This is something that happened, you know, in those of you who are the Phoenix area, I'm in central Glendale at our other house, and I'm down on the ground and I'm on the upstairs part. Annie had to sign off. And then, you know, Jim's trying to call me on my cell phone. Jim Mars is trying to call me on my cell phone after the interview to see if I was okay. And the phone was across the room and I wasn't going to move because I was pretty well concealed. And I was yelling to everybody, stay down, stay down, stay down, get to the basement, because we have a basement at home, get down into that basement, this kind of stuff. So anyway, my sister-in-law, she goes, I think it's over. And it was. So I come downstairs, everyone's okay, and everyone and their mother's calling 911, right? I mean, there must have been 12, 15 people in the house, and everyone's calling. And it took the cops 25 minutes to get there to Central Glendale. More of a well-traveled location than even Federal Boulevard. And so, you know, my sister-in-law just goes ballistic on the cop. I thought she was going to get arrested. And she, where you been? We called you 25 minutes ago. And she's just going off. And the cop said, we just got the call 3 minutes ago. I'm not kidding you. He said, we were here very quickly. And I actually looked at it and go, I believe him. And then they're going around talking to everybody. And he said, well, sir, what were you doing? Well, I was doing a radio show. You should have seen his face. You'd have think I said to him, I'm running down the street naked. And so he wants to see my radio equipment. Bullcrap. He was looking for marijuana. And so he goes up, looks at my radio equipment. And he goes, well, do you have any suspects? What do you think I said, Paul?
John McCain's people?
That's exactly what I said. What would make you say that? He threatened me at the state capitol. True story. Those are my two experiences being shot at.
I've never been shot at, but I've had about 4 people under the gun. Didn't have to shoot any of them. Thought I was going to have to shoot one, but thank God I didn't.
Oh, yeah. I had some it was really cool when I was a kid. Had this friend named Drew, and there were 4 of us that hung out together playing basketball. And mostly kind of by this time, a summer thing, because I'm already going to college playing. And one of my friends, 3 years older than me, was a senior when I was a freshman, and his older brother was home from the Navy. So the 4 of us used to go out, and this one guy named Drew, who was only about 5'10", 160 pounds, and he was an ex-Green Beret from Vietnam. And he was one of those tunnel rats. You know what that was, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he'd go down in the tunnel and fight with the little guys there, and only one person was coming out. And he was one bad dude. I remember we were playing in a pickup game, and this one guy fouled him really hard, and the guy was about 6'8 and 220. And Drew gets up, and you ever heard of the Bruce Lee 1 second punch? 1 inch punch?
Yeah.
He did that. He hit the guy right in the chest, and the guy went to the ground. I thought the guy was dead. He just instantly collapsed and went down. I mean, they say that they teach you kill shots in the Green Beret. Yeah, I saw evidence of it. Well, anyway, he used to have, he smuggled everything out of the military. So we used to go out east of Aurora, out in the countryside, and we'd have AK-47s, M-16s, a rocket grenade launcher. I'm not joking. Rocket grenade launcher. I actually know how to use one. Are you impressed?
I am.
Yeah, I know. So they had, and then shotguns, 45s, hollow point ammunition. Pretty cool. And we'd go out there, and we'd try to find a sign, and we'd shoot the sign to oblivion. I didn't always say I did smart things when I was a teenager. I was probably about 18 by this time. And you can imagine what happened to you today if the cops rolled up on you. If the cops would have rolled up on us then, after they put us on the ground, they'd probably let us go. Today, you'd go to prison. So, I'll never forget my friend Drew. You wanted to live next door to Drew in a riot. And the guy was a pharmacist on top of that. Well educated, very intelligent, very soft spoken. Oh, but you wouldn't want to be on his bad side. I needed him when I was at that Taco Bell. Good thing for those guys across the street, he wasn't there.
Those tough guys are usually pretty quiet.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, what do you think is going to happen with the coronavirus? With CV?
I think we're in for the long haul, buddy.
You think it's going to be worse than what the president said?
Yes, I do. Well, I mean, he's trying to clean the swamp, but there's still a lot of swamp critters in there, and I don't think, as always, he's getting accurate information.
Well, you know what's really interesting is there was a notable missing person at the press conference that he held. And it was that Nancy Messonnier.
Yeah.
And she's the one that was giving out all that misinformation on CV and CH. And we were all making fun of her, you know, in the independent media. And she was not at that conference, and she'd been on the front line. She'd been the spokesperson. I think someone told him, hey, a lot of people aren't buying her message. Do you know who she's related to?
Rosenstein's, her brother.
Yeah. Ex-deputy director, DOJ, deep state, dirty as heck, Rod Rosenstein. And then, he's got interesting women in his life. That's his sister, Nancy Misinformation Messonnier. And then, you know who his wife is, don't you?
Refresh me.
Lisa Barsoomian.
Oh, that's right.
Remember? She technically worked for the FBI. And she was the FOIA front person, Freedom of Information Act. So anything that would come in requesting, like, top secret classified, unclassified files that people had a right to, she would be the front person to reject all these. And she used a National Institute of Health email fraudulently, so people would be thrown off the trail of how to get a hold of her to get released information. So she was total disinfo for the FBI. And that was her best day. She also had represented the Clintons over 60 times. Some really bad cases involving Bill that they got locked down into non-disclosure out-of-court settlements, if you know what I mean. Over 60 times she represented the Clintons. I mean, she is a deep state, deep stater. So you look at Rod Rosenstein, he's got CD misinformation artist Messonnier as a sister, and his wife is Lisa Barsoomian. Oh, my goodness. They say bad things happen in threes. You got to wonder who the third person is in that triumvirate. It's pretty bizarre. So, I almost fell over when I found out that Messonnier was his sister. And I go, well, I guess I'm not really too surprised. It's a tight circle in the swamp. It really is. So what else is on your... Go ahead, Paul.
Well, and the swamp is not as large as it was, but it's still pretty toxic and big. I mean, you've got a... As bad as I hate to say it, I mean, Trump's done some great things. He's done some things that I think he should ought to have done, getting us out of all these wars, and lock her up, and, you know, a dozen other things. But he did admit at one point, he said, I didn't really realize how big and deep the deep state was. And, I mean, we've had the bureaucracies have been running this country, buddy.
That's because they survived the terms of the elected officials.
Yep.
That's how they get it done. That's why we call it deep state. And it's bad. So, Trump is suing the New York Times, his campaign is. And I think nothing's going to come of that. Because the deep state gets away with telling as many lies as they want to. But I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, been doing it for decades and decades.
Well, let's go back in time. Did you see that press conference that Trump held in India?
No, I did not.
That was a sight to behold for a while. First of all, he was good in it. He was very positive about India, put the best foot forward for America. It was clear they didn't reach a bilateral agreement on tariffs yet, but he was very positive. So, oh yeah, we're working towards there and they really care about America and blah, blah, blah. Did you see that they gave him a reception at a stadium and 120,000 people showed up?
I did see that.
I mean, Biden can't even get 120 people to show up. And they got this.
Tells you all you need to know.
It's incredible. Well, you look at some of the stats out there. Investor Kevin O'Leary said there's no way Trump's losing. Recent polls say among likely voters, 67% say Trump's getting reelected. That's 2 out of 3 right there. You know how many Democrats are going to stay home if that's the belief? Pretty
well,
interesting.
Well, I think there's some moderate Democrats are going to vote for Trump. I mean, every time that these Democrats have opened their mouth, it's just been an unmitigated disaster since they started all the proceedings to try to impeach him. I mean, they've dug a hole that's deeper than a well.
They really have. In fact, I was looking at some of the poll numbers for African Americans. And when Trump was elected, 8% of African Americans supported Trump. Today, that number is over 36%. And it's rising. I think by the election, if everything stays as it is, I think by the election, we're looking at African-American voting rates for Trump will be in the 40 percentile.
Well, there's been a lot of interviews out there from black citizenry and politicians, stuff like that, state officials, stuff like that. And the main vein through all that, what have the Democrats ever done for us?
Obstructed our government for 3 years trying to undo the 2016 election.
But I'm talking about the black voters out there. You know,
this is why Trump's approval rating is going up. First of all, he's building training centers, job training centers in historically packed neighborhoods with low income. And he's getting no credit for it in the mainstream media. It's a fantastic idea. I'd much rather have people be enabled and be able to go out and hold a job and pay taxes and have some self-respect and good self-esteem. And that's what this does. And no one, you know, in the media, mainstream media, say anything about it. And then Trump initiated this judicial reform. Have you seen that commercial where you've got this black lady thanking Trump for the judicial reform that freed her from prison and then also gave her an opportunity?
Yeah.
Yeah, what an effective commercial that is. So he's done that for African Americans. And on his watch, African Americans have the lowest unemployment rate ever in history. Ever. And it happened with a Republican. And I'm thinking, okay, I know mommy and daddy said to vote for Democrats because at least they respect black people and care what we think. That was
No,
then.
They don't.
Well, in the days of John Kennedy, they did matter to the Kennedys. The Kennedys were serious reformers in civil rights. And of course, John got killed and it took LBJ to finish it, but they were serious. You know, since that time, you know, what have you done for me lately is what I'd be saying if I was African American, wouldn't you?
Without a doubt. And that ain't, you know, it's pretty impressive.
Well, he's done the same thing for women. Oh, but he's a sexist. Yeah, okay, let's look at the numbers again. Okay, look at his cabinet. Look at the people he appoints. Oh, he's anti-gay. Again, look at the people he appoints. He hates Latinos. Look at his cabinet. Look at the people he appoints. Look at the historically low unemployment rate again for people of Latino descent. See, here's what I really respect about Trump, Paul. In our Constitution, we basically talk about equal opportunity for everybody. And I'm so proud that we finally have a president that's helping this country to live out and manifest the ideals we profess to have for as many people as possible.
And, well, he's a businessman. He's not a politician.
Well, he's trying to help people too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's a business. He wants these people to thrive. He wants them to make some money and help businesses. And
I hear you.
Help the country and make America great again.
And we are. We're going to keep America great, best country it's ever been. And Paul, on that note, my friend, we are out of time. Paul's website is revolutionradio.org. It's a great, great site. I encourage you to visit it every day. And don't forget about, don't get ripped off by car repairmen. Go to repairwithdave.com and take advantage of that great opportunity that's there at a very low price. Paul, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Everybody else, we'll see you guys back here again tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.